Hallelujah. 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 There is a thought that the Lord has been bringing to me this morning as I was sitting there. And it's found in Judges, the 7th chapter. Hallelujah. And you all know the story. You all know the story of Gideon. You've heard it many times, I'm sure. I trust you will endure hearing it one more time, or at least a segment of it. I want to go to chapter number 7. And I'm not going to go through the mechanics of what was being done up to chapter 7. You're all aware of that. But the choice had come down to those who were remaining after the first division. And it says in the 4th verse of that 7th chapter, 7 is the number of perfection, 7 is the number of fullness, 4 is the number of tribulation. There is no tribulation that comes, there's no perfection that comes without tribulation. There is no perfection that comes without change. There's no perfection that comes without death and desolation. Hallelujah. Because perfection is resurrection. And resurrection is the result of obedience to dying. Hallelujah. So, we see the context of the scripture of the chapter. We're seeing now the context of the scripture. It is in an environment of tribulation. And of course, this people that had been selected, hallelujah, we're about to go into war. Hallelujah. And you know, one thing I know about soldiers is that when they are on the brink of going into battle, when they're on the brink of going into war, they are very sober. Or at least most of them are. They're very sober about their circumstance. They're very sober about their situation because there's no guarantee that they will survive the conflict. There's no stamp that says, yes, you're not going to die, you're going to be victorious. Everyone knows that they may not see the light of tomorrow. And you know, I don't know, sometimes I think they might have even looked around and, you know, breathed the air that they were breathing and how sweet it was and how green the trees must have been and the grass and looking at their comrades in arms and saying, why wouldn't I have appreciated you a little greater, a little more? Hallelujah. It reminds me of a vision I had many years ago in one of the Jamaica conferences. We were a ragtag group of soldiers. And we had been in a long battle. And it had been a very costly battle. Many of our comrades were no longer with us. And there was just a handful of us left. My God. And there was this weapon that the enemy had. We didn't know what it was. We just called it the killing machine. And no matter what we were doing or how we were fighting it, it was managing to whittle us down one by one. And I can remember the feeling of it as we were there. It was miserable. The conditions, the environmental conditions was miserable. It had been raining and it was cold. And I don't know if you've ever been where it's raining and it's cold and you have a wind that's blowing. They have what they call a chill factor that reduces the temperature of your body, I suppose. Or if it's like 1 degrees below zero or it's zero, the chill factor can bring it down to 5, 10, or depending upon the conditions of the environment. And it was a strange environment. It wasn't like a home environment. It was like out in the bush somewhere. Hallelujah. And we all had our parkas on. We all had our parkas, our raincoats, our GI raincoats. You know, I was in the Army. I saw that's how it was being related to me. And we had this poor, miserable fire. It was the way it was raining, and the conditions of it were so bad that the fire wouldn't catch, you understand. But it was just enough to provide a little flickering light, and there was just a handful of us, and we're all huddled around it, trying to get it to where it would give us some warmth. And we're looking, we're not saying anything. We're just looking at each other. But in the looks, there's words, there's volumes. I cannot express to you the camaraderie and the union of fellowship with no words that were there. And we had come to a conclusion, we had come to a thought that we could kill this machine. And I don't know, in days gone by in the Army, they had what they call these pipe bombs. I don't know. They would put sections of pipe together. And when they were assaulting, in World War II, when they were assaulting, there would be rolls of barbed wire. And they had to blow a hole in this barbed wire for the troops to be able to go through. Or if they were assaulting a pillbox, those fortified concrete structures where they were shooting out of a little slit. Hallelujah. And they would put these sections, and every man had a section. And they would number them. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. And the job of number one was to get to a certain point. Hallelujah. And when the squad leader would say, number one, the man, and it was heavy fire. Heavy fire. And you know, I can remember when I was in boot camp. They took us out on a course. And it was probably as long as this room and maybe just about as wide. And up at the other end, they had a machine gun. And the course itself was wire and post, rocks. And we had to crawl from our little fox, our ditch, get up under the wire and crawl with our M1, our rifle. We had to crawl on our bellies with that crawl that you put the rifle across and you crawl like this. Hallelujah. And it was a muddy course. They had flooded it with water. And they were shooting live ammunition. Yes, they were shooting live ammunition. Now, I think you could have stood up and even jumped. and not been hit. But the fact of the matter is, you couldn't stand up because of the barbed wire that was over the whole field. And they began to shoot that infamy. And then, in different places, they had pre-prepared explosions. So you had to crawl, and I can remember hearing the sound of the bullets. And it would make a peculiar sound. Zzzz, as it would go over your head, and then you would hear it. Thump. So you know, this was no dud. This was no dud. Hallelujah. And in this vision now, and we knew intuitively some of us weren't going to make it. We knew intuitively that some of us weren't going to make it. And we also knew that there was not one of the members of that small group that would not give his life for the other one. Without hesitation, without having to think about it. I can't explain to you the feeling of the camaraderie and the bonding that was in that experience that I was experiencing. But we knew that we could take out this machine. But we had this pipe thing that we had to put together. And we had to get it under the machine in order for the charge to go through it. Hallelujah. In order to do what needed to do. Hallelujah. And when we were out there, and all of a sudden you heard, one! And a man got up without hesitation and started to run. Hallelujah. And you could hear the firing, you could hear the bullets, and you could hear it hit his body. Hallelujah. And he went down, but as he went down with the pipe in the right place. Hallelujah. And then you had heard two. And that man got up just seeing his car, and he ran for all he was, dodging and ducking and moving. Hallelujah. Jumping over the body and falling into the dirt and ramming the pipe back into the other section. Hallelujah. There was a position, there was a place of commitment to a purpose. Hallelujah. And I wasn't seeing a natural battle. I was seeing a reality of what it is going to be like for the sons of God. I was seeing in all of that the requirement that God was putting upon me personally, individually, concerning this word. You know, we can be here singing and dancing and rejoicing and praising the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's a preparatory thing, giving us yet another opportunity, because brethren, things are coming to a close in the aspect of the way that we know life to be. And you know what? These people there in Iraq, they're supposed to be Christians. Now I don't know what their position of relationship is, but as a Christian, they had every opportunity to be Muslim. They had every opportunity to be something other than what they weren't. But there was something in their heart concerning God and the reality of Him that they were desiring. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And instead of recanting, they chose to flee. They had no other opportunity. They don't have a word concerning sonship. They don't have a word concerning overcoming. They don't have a word concerning authority and power. They don't have a word of God walking in a people and talking in a people. All they have is something of a reality of more, of wanting something more of God than what they have. Hallelujah. You know, many of them were wealthy people. And you know, the devil comes and they're spending all of their money trying to get to safety. And there are all people are taking it. And the people who would lead them through the desert and the mine, taking all of their substance. Huh? We hang on to it so tenaciously. Brother Edie was talking about it a little bit. I thought you were going to preach the whole message there, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is a wake-up call. You have your own problem. You know, you're down here in Port Harcourt, down on the uttermost, farthest part possibly of what is happening up north. But it's not going to touch you and touch you in a greater manner, in a greater way than what it is now touching you. You know, one of the things that extremely bothered me about 9/11 was the indifference. The closer you were to 9/11, the closer you were to New York, the closer you were to the Pentagon, the closer you were to that jetliner that went down there in Maryland somewhere or wherever it went down, you know, the closer you were to it, the greater the pain. But the farther you were, the greater the indifference. And you know what? It did not take 3 months. It was a thing of history. It was a thing of the past. It was a thing of history. Hallelujah. Do you think this Boko Haram thing is any worse than ISIS? Do you think so? Do you not think they look at the southern part of Nigeria, especially the oil resources and all of that, and they're not salivating at the mouth as a man would salivate over a steak? Do you not think that? Do you not think that Putin in Europe does not have aspirations for something more than the Ukraine? Do you not think, oh, but that's none of your business, right? That's on a different continent. You have people in Russia. You have people in Ukraine. Hello? You have people in the Czech Republic. You have people in London. Hello? You have relatives probably. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture. Judges. Chapter 7. Perfection. Verse 4. Tribulation. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are too many. Bring them down unto the water. And I is God. That's not Gideon. Hallelujah. And it wasn't Gideon who was fitting the terms. It wasn't Gideon who was setting the standard. He says, I am going to try them. I'm going to try them in a peculiar way. I'm going to try them in a definite manner. And as they perform or move in that manner, will qualify them or disqualify them. No second chances. Oh, I made a mistake. Let me go back and lap it the right way. No second chances. No second chances. We think we got second chances. We think we got third chances. We think we got time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We think we got time. Now, brethren, it's not my fault you were born when you were born. But you were born in a particular time, in a particular age, for a particular reason. And the fact that you have heard this word makes that all the more conclusive. Makes it all the more definite. Hallelujah. Amen. God did not call you to be looking down the road 20 to 25 years, 15 years, 10 years. You don't have 10 years. You don't have 5 years. Hello? I suppose most of those people up on that mountain thought tomorrow would come and be the same as today. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They were homeless. Hallelujah. Being driven out of their homes. You know, one of the articles, the boy was saying how he saw his father shot in the head. And as they were fleeing, his mother died of dehydration. And they had spent all of their life sustenance to get to the point to where they were, but they weren't yet free. Hello? Do you think that young man had aspirations? You think that mother, that father, had aspirations for their child, for their family? You had hopes, ambitions, thought they were going to be educated in a manner and be able to provide a living for and possibly even take care of them in their old age. I think that's a custom, isn't it? You're responsible for your parents. Hello? Hallelujah. So there was a thought, there was an action, there was a lifestyle that they had, but that lifestyle is no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is no more. Hallelujah. We have a more definitive word. We do not have to be like them, caught unawares. God said, I'm going to bring you down to the waters. Now, brother, what is the water? What is the water? What word? Any word? Word of salvation? Word of baptism? What is the word? Is it not the word of sonship? Is it not the word of being like Christ? Is it not the word of what? Christ be what? Can you give me just a little more rope here? What is it? Christ be what? Where? Form. Yes, a baby is formed in the mother's womb. So Christ is supposed to be formed, being formed in you. And you know something? Christ is a Nigerian. Hello? He's not a Western, he's not American, he's not European, but he's certainly not Nigerian either. Do you know there is a theology in the Nigerian church that it's Nigerians who are going to be the succor and savior of the world? Have you ever heard that? Come on. I've heard it. And I don't even live here. Huh? Have you heard it? Yes. Hallelujah. Of course. You just don't want to admit it. Come on, brother. Let's be honest. You know, it's like what the Bible says about Babylon. It says, Babylon has fallen. And the merchants of the world, what did they do? They stood afar off. Don't come nigh me. Don't come near me. Don't touch me. I think I'm all tangled up here. Hallelujah. You know something? The Holy Place Church is a lot like that. We see disaster and destruction and we say, oh my, that's terrible. Oh my, that's horrendous. Oh, that's demonic. And that's it. We're out the door, down the road, in our jobs, in our profession, taking care of family, taking care of business, at school, study. Hello? Hallelujah. Those ladies that were ripped off by the Boko Haram, they still haven't found them, have they?
Yes.
They found them?
No.
Where's the church? What if it was your daughter? What if it was one of your daughters? Who's got daughters? Huh? What if it was one of your daughters? Who's got daughters here? Anybody got daughters? What if it was one of your daughters? What if it was your daughter? Would you be concerned?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, you'd be in your closet day and night. Save my daughter. Save my daughter. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the life that some of those women are now living? The degradation and defilement and all of the things and the fear and the trepidation. Huh? Do they have the strength to live? Huh? Where's the church? We say, we got power in the name of Jesus. Hello? Where's your power? Where's your power? Where is it? Huh? Hallelujah. It's theoretical. It's theological. It's a religious concept. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when there was a threat that one day came to our awareness concerning one of my children's, our children's child being delivered. There was a threat, there was a warning that came to us via another person in a dream. And the dream said, red alert! Said, red alert! What do you do with red alert? You hit the dirt, man. When they say, incub! We all went down on our face in the dirt. You know what I mean? Incub means that there's something coming into the camp. Hallelujah. We all went down in the dirt. We didn't stand around and say, who's going to go down first? Huh? Hallelujah. When that word came to us, my wife and I, we were out here in Africa somewhere. We went down on our face. Oh, God. Hello? Oh, God. Oh, God. You see this precious family. You see this precious baby. God, intervene. Intervene, God. Intervene. Intervene. Move. Because, you know, the devil had every intention of killing that child. We have the record. We have the testimony of the doctors. It came out with a cord around its neck, 7% oxygen. Blue. Hallelujah. But that child is alive today. Can you hear me? That child is alive today. It was a red alert. Brother, we're hearing red alerts. And we're not doing anything. Why? Because we're not understanding the reality. We're not understanding the reality of the Word and the responsibility that God is giving us and the place He wants to bring us to concerning that Word. Hallelujah. Did I just lose it? Yes. I get lost of exercise anyway. We're losing it. We're not understanding the concept. We are supposed to be two witnesses, aren't we? Aren't we supposed to be two witnesses? Isn't that the whole idea? Isn't the whole idea of this Ark of the Covenant? Ark? Did you get the word? Ark? Ark? Remember boat? Remember Noah? Do you remember Noah? What did Noah do? He saved the world. Hello? Oh yes, we want to save the world. We're like John and James. I want to sit on the right hand. Oh no, I want to sit on the left hand. And the rest of the disciples got mad at him. You want this and you want that. Where does that leave us? Where does that leave me? Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I had a dream. No, I didn't have a dream. I had a vision. Dreams and visions. You know, I don't know what the difference of them is. They're just experiences. Hallelujah. How long ago was Wisconsin with Rod? 1987. It's like a calendar. 1987. I had a vision in I was in a Madison. Was it Madison? Yes, near Madison, Wisconsin, little farm out in the countryside, out in the boondocks. Hello? Hallelujah. Not very many people there, but, you know, it was a fairly good crowd for the place, and we were having a kind of a weekend conference type of deal, weren't we? And I had a strange experience. I got lifted up into the Spirit, and I could see the meeting, and I could see Brother Seth and Brother Seth and Sister Mavis. I wanted to call her Brother Mavis. And you know, I saw the meeting, all the people there, and they were praising the Lord and you smiling at each other, and the Spirit of God was moving, and we were all having a good time, and oh, everything was just spiritually hunky dory. Huh? And I saw Brother Duccio and Brother Sister Mavis. They were all bundled up. You know, when they didn't like cold. They were from Jamaica. They did not like cold. When it was cold, they bundled up. Boots, socks, double layer of trousers, big coats, neckerchiefs, hat. They were all bundled up. All bundled up. And they were standing by the back door. The door was at the left-hand side of the room and at the back. And they went over and they stood there for a moment. And Mavis, she had her back to the door, and she turned the knob, and she opened the door, and she stepped through it. Brother Dusil paused. It was like he was taking a last look, setting it in his mind of the fellowship, praising the Lord, and the joy of the Lord and the Spirit of God moving. He took a last, it's like he's getting it impressed. You know how you do. You look at something, oh my, this is so beautiful. I want to just remember it. Huh? And then the door was still cracked. And then he took one last look around and he stepped through the door and he latched the door. It bothered me for a number of years. Hallelujah. But I know what it means now, of course. Hallelujah. But when he broke loose, when he walked through that door, pandemonium broke loose. Did you hear me? Pandemonium in the congregation. Everybody was fighting to get to the front. Everybody was fighting to get to the pulpit. I mean, fight, they were kicking. They were stepping on people. They were knocking people with things. One guy had a Bible and he goes, bam! Knocks another man down. Get to the pulpit to get that place of preeminence. Hallelujah. We don't understand the message. I'm supposed to be willing to give my life for you. I'm supposed to be willing to let you use me like a rug. Wipe your feet on me. That's what I'm supposed to be willing to do. Well, don't try it just yet. You might be surprised. You got to give me a little more space. I'm working on it. Says, I'm going, you bring them down to the water. You know, the water, the word, is not a passive thing. Yes. Hallelujah. It says, by the washing of the water, by the word. Now, I don't know if that scripture means this, but when I read that for the first time and rehearsed it in my mind, it gives me the type, it gives me the understanding of a woman who's got a washboard. Hallelujah. You know those corrugated things. Huh? And she's got this piece of cloth and she's vigorously scrubbing that thing. Scrubbing it. And she holds it up and looks at it and says, well, not clean enough. Down in the water it goes. Scrub, scrub, scrub. A little more soap. Scrub, 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 scrub. Huh? Hallelujah. Because she really wants the thing clean. She doesn't want it contaminated. So when God said, I will try them, He said, bring them down to the water. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know the church, the Holy Place Church, has been down to the water for a long time. Right. Hallelujah. You know, many years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 10 years ago, 7 years ago, my wife might remember, I don't. But I was in a meeting in Germany. Hallelujah. And I was grieved to my toenails. Can you be grieved to your toenails? I noticed you looked at my toenails. I mean, I was grieved at the reaction and response. It was like going to a social club. Huh? Hors d'oeuvres, tea, conversation, No word. No time for the word. No time. No time for the word. No discussion of the word. Discussing this, discussing that. That was the meeting. That was the meeting. That was the meeting. Do you hear me? That was the meeting. Hallelujah. And I walked out grieved, and I'm saying, God, God, what is the matter with your people? What is the matter? Where is the hunger? Where is the thirsting? Where is the desire? Hallelujah. And God said to me, He didn't say them now. I want you to understand, He didn't say them. He says, you are at the drinking of the water. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that means, I got to examine my own self. I have to examine my own position of relationship and responsibility and accountability and what it is that I am doing. My God, I have a responsibility to judge myself. And you know what? I have a responsibility to see myself in the light of God. It isn't your responsibility to point out my deficiencies. Oh, you might do that, and praise God when you do it, because I will go to God and ask Him about it. But that is not your responsibility. That's not how God is supposed to deal with the people who are supposed to be sons. A father takes a son and he nurtures him and tutors him in his business. The business of living, the responsibility of being a man, the care and the keep of his family, how to make a living, and all of the things that go with life and living. That's a father's responsibility. Hello? I have a responsibility as a son to learn and to heed and to obey. Hallelujah. Do you remember what we were talking about? Hallelujah. The other night, concerning salvation. Brother, we did not even get past the brazen altar of sacrifice. We did not even get into it. All we got to is being able to see. We think we are in. Hallelujah. It says, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. Is having the ability to enter entering? No, it is not. I have the ability to drive a car. Hello? But in order to drive that car, I got to get in it. I got to start it. I got to put it in reverse, back out of where it is, and put it in forward and go down the street to where I want to go. Hello? We think that we're in. We're not in. We are not in. We have revelation on revelation on revelation. You can just bury us in revelation. But in the actuality of the aspect of our being in a position and operating in it, hello, it's an entirely different story. Why should I come to give you more revelation if what you have in revelation is not being utilized in your personal private life and bringing a change in your circumstance? Loose! Well, maybe you'll be glad to see me go. I don't know. God said, bring him down to the water. Bring him down to the water. It wasn't arbitrary. Did you hear me? Oh, I don't think I want to go to the water today. I don't think the water is too cold. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, of course you know what cold showers are, right? I didn't know what cold showers were until I came to Africa. Cold showers. Cold showers. Huh? Hallelujah. I didn't know what cold showers were. I didn't even know what a bucket was used for. That bucket was used for showers until I came to Africa. Huh? Come on. I didn't. But I learned really quick, if I want to get clean, I got to take a cold shower. Hello? I can't. You have a water heater, but no electricity. What are you going to do? You're going to get in that shower. Oh, yeah, and you can hear me all the way down the road. But when I come out, I'm clean. Do you hear me? I come out clean. And I take that bucket when it's all said and done, and you go, Hallelujah! That's my wife.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, I really appreciate a warm shower. And lots of water. But it's not arbitrary. I can't make a decision that I don't want to go to the water. You know I'm going to be taken to the water whether I want to or not. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm going to be taken to the water. It's not an arbitrary decision. I don't have the right to refute or I have the right to make another decision. Well, let me see. Do I got time on my calendar today? Throw your calendar out the window. Hallelujah. And brethren, I'm not telling you, you will not be responsible for doing living. You will be responsible, but in spite of that. In spite of that. In spite of that. In spite of that. Or even because of that. Hello? You have a greater responsibility to God and the calling and the election that is upon your life. Peter said, make sure. Who? God make sure? Me make sure? You make sure? Who? Me. Make my calling and election sure. You think coming to church and sitting in a chair and then going out the door and not changing, not going to God and say, what is that word? What is that thought? What? How many of you even get the tapes? How many of you are taking notes? I see notebooks. Praise God. But the note takers. In Ethiopia, I always say, how many of you got Bibles? Well, I think here probably more of you got Bibles than they have there. Then I ask them, who's got cell phones? You know, I see four or five Bibles in a crowd of about 50 people, and everybody's got a cell phone. Some people got two cell phones. Some people got three cell phones. They got three cell phones, one tablet, and a computer.
No Bible. No Bibles.
And no Bibles. Oh, I got my Bible on my computer. Oh, that's really great. I see you walking around reading your Bible on your computer. Oh, I think it's great if you use your phone. You use your thanks for the things of the Lord. Yes, I think it's great. How many of you go over these tapes? You know, we have been in this gospel for how long? Huh? Too many years? We have been in this gospel. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of messages. Brother Gordon, bless his heart. Brother Dusile had all of these reel-to-reel tapes from the time he came to the United States. God bless his heart. God bless his heart. He went through every one of those reels and is still going through them, putting them in digital format. And, you know, if we get them, do we want to pay for them? Oh, yeah. Brother George ran the video department. How many videos you got, George? Send them out every month. Every month, send them out. Got to a point where we couldn't do it anymore. Do you think anybody said, where's the videos? No. You think anybody sent any money? Maybe a few here and there. Do you think anybody sent any money? When we started asking for money, the list dwindled. It went from, what, 2,000 to 5 or 6, maybe 1 or 2? Come on. Wasn't very many people. Come on! Hello? And what we have in the wealth of information and revelation from God, it's incomparable to anything else. I see people spending $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 of dollars on entertainment systems. Big screen TVs. Remote control dooley bobs. Huh? Hallelujah. For what? For what? They're not. And then they buy $200 or $300 worth of videos. Entertainment videos. Come on. Hello? Hallelujah. How many of you are listening to the Word of God? How many of you are going back over? How many of you are getting into it, digging into it? God, does this really mean that? Speak to me, excuse me. You know, when Brother Mark was ministering the other day in the morning, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to what he's saying, he's talking about the blood and he's talking about faith. God spoke to me. So I get into my Bible, I want to write it down. I don't want to forget it. You know what he spoke to me? He was talking about the blood and faith. I'll put it into a medical term because that's why God did that. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm here and you're all doctors. I don't know. He says, the blood is like a serum and faith is like the syringe. Simple, isn't it? You put the serum in the syringe and you inject it. The blood is like a serum and faith is like the syringe in which it is applied. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I said, hey, that's easy. That's really easy. I can remember that one. Every time I'm talking about faith, I need an injection, Lord. I want a vaccine. That's what he was talking about. I want a vaccine. Give me a shot of blood. Give me a little boost here. Give me a little antibodies. Put something in my system by which I can fight the devil. I want something out of the Word. I don't want it to be mental orientated. I want it to be heartfelt. That's what I want the Word of God to be. Hallelujah. And you know, when with I like the front of the room. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it. I always figured the anointing was up there. And I wanted to be as close as the fire as I could get. Close to the fire as I could get. I would come early. I would find my seat. I would put my Bible on it and say, this is mine. Don't move it. Mm-hmm. And when I come in and somebody, I say, who moved it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, let every man what? Examine himself. You know what? We are at the Lord's table. Did you know that? This is not where I intended to go, by the way. We are at the Lord's table. We are at the Lord's table. We're eating of the food of God. We're drinking of the wine of God. We're drinking of the blood of the Word. Hello? He said, let every man what? Eat and drink. To consider what? If he's really worthy enough to drink it. I come out on the name of God, I'm not worthy. Help me be worthy. Help me be in a place by which this word will not be like an owning crime. You know what the crime of owning was? He allowed his seed to be spilled on the ground. Hallelujah. Why? Because he did not want to bring up an offspring to his brother. What are we supposed to be bringing up? Offsprings unto who? Jesus, our older brother, who was crucified. It says he was cut off in the midst of his generation. Who shall declare his generation? I am one that is anointed to declare his generation. You are anointed. You are anointed. You are anointed by blood and by virtue of the sacrifice that was made for the sake of humanity. You were called not for church. You were called as saviors. Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture somewhere in Revelation that talks about Jesus and His Christ. Isn't there? Huh? Where is it? Where is it? Isn't it in Revelation? Huh? Does it say Jesus? Jesus and His Christ? Let read that for me. Read it. Come on. Christ and His Christ. And His Christ. Paul said it this way, little children, I travail again. Why? That Christ be formed in you. If Paul was travailing for the Galatian church, do you think there is a spirit of Paul that is now travailing over the end time church in Nigeria, in the Europe, and in the United States?
11:15. Revelation
11, verse 10. Hallelujah. Oh yes, oh I like that one. Hallelujah. What is it? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, am I loud enough? Hallelujah. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come. That now, that means right now, at this moment, at this place, at this time, salvation is come.
Where?
Not in the expense of being born again, but the salvation and the totality of what it is that God is intended to do with humanity. And we sit back in a placated chair, just twiddling our thumbs. Brethren, trouble is coming. Can you hear me? Trouble, 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 trouble. Such as the world has never known. I cannot get beyond that message. I can't. Hallelujah. I can't move. I want to move this way. I want to move this way. I have to move this way. Trouble, 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 trouble. Hallelujah. Oh, God help us. You know, you get off the plane and I'm confronted with Ebola. What does it have to do? What has to happen? Some of your relatives need to get it, maybe? Your children maybe have to suffer under it? Huh? Is that what has to happen? God forbid! God forbid! God forbid! But it's coming! It's coming! And these events in the world, ISIS, wasn't that what it's called? ISIS, isn't it called? Huh? Is that right? Unchecked, like a malignant cancer. Like a malignant cancer. Unchecked! Why? Is it because of the United States in a I don't even want to go there. Is it because Europe? No. It's because you and I do not take it seriously. It's because you and I do not respond to the call to arms. You know, brethren, I got here and the Lord said, it is a test. I said, a test? Yes, it's a test. It's a test, do you hear me? Oh, I says, you're testing what the United States will do. He says, nothing. I says, you're testing what the continent of Africa will do. He says, nothing. You're testing what the European Union will do. He says, nothing. He says, test, it's a test. It's a test for the, you and I, the people of God. What are, you know, the devil is probing.
That's right.
The devil is probing, do you hear me? He's probing. He's going to see, okay. What will you do? Will you rise up? Huh? Will you rise up in the Spirit? Will you begin to move with the anointing and the unction? Will you begin to work out your salvation in your personal life? Will you begin to put your business to the side and begin to make God's business your business? Huh? Brother Dusil used to say, I have made my business God's business. And if my business is in a mess, that's God's business. Huh? Hello? Hallelujah. 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 Maybe I shouldn't even go there. He said, bring them down to the water. Hallelujah. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now. We were in a conference in Florida, down out in the Everglades someplace. There was an evangelical man who wrote a little book called Now. It took an evangelical Christian to talk to a holy place church because they were so hard of hearing. They were so involved in life. Hallelujah. They could not hear the now. Hallelujah. You know, the good thing, the good news, well, maybe it's good news. Maybe it's good news. Maybe you won't think it's good news. But the good news is, if God brings correction, we adhere and adhere to the correction. Then we have an opportunity to redeem the time. Redeeming of time means that there is no time left to redeem, but somehow, some way, in your obedience to the Word of God, God makes a way for that redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with the Word of God that has been given to us? Are we going to go out of here and it's going to be the same old business over and over and over again until next year? Brethren, I don't know if you will have a conference next year. Not in this forum. Huh? Yeah, you know, the missile shut down A valid, bona fide ship full of passengers. The world did nothing. There's still bodies of people laying around out there. The world did nothing. What did I do? What did I do? Did I go down in prayer? Did I go down? And Putin now is pushing. Come on. You don't think it's your business? It's your business. It's your business. You are supposed to be running the show. You are supposed to be running the show. You are supposed to be running the show by prayer in your closet. There was a man named Mueller. He built one of the biggest foundations of orphanages that the world has ever known. You know, he did not have a bank account. He did not have solicitation. He did not have people that were supporting him. All he had was God. He would go in his closet and pray the bread into the orphanage. It grew from one of the smallest to one of the biggest ones in all of Europe for one man. And then at 75, he began to tour the world, bringing the message of faith in prayer. Hallelujah. I don't even know. Some of you even know who he is. But you know what? He's one of your uncles. He's one of your aunts. He's one of your grandparents. You remember the family tree? Huh? You have some very good non-Nigerian relatives. C.T. Studd, Reese House was a prayer. And then there was a man called Praying Hyde who wore and he said he had knees like camel. Can you imagine? And there was one man who, when he'd get into prayer, he'd begin to go like this on his knees. He wore strips into his floor. Huh? Come on. There was a man by the name of David Brenner. You know, the man died at 28, but not before he fulfilled his calling and election. He was called to the North American Indian, and he saw the drunkenness, and he saw the wantonness and the destruction of a whole nation of people. And he went to live with them. This man had the advanced case of tuberculosis. Huh? And he would find himself out in the snow pray for the salvation of these people. Did you hear me? And the heat of his body would melt a big realm of space in the snow, and he would be out there for an hour. You know, he died at 28, but he lived a full, productive life. And his prayers opened an avenue of evangelization to those people. And many of those people have been converted because of that man's willingness. Hallelujah. I would say he had no fear for his life. Hallelujah. What are we doing to substantiate and to validate the kingdom of God? What are we doing concerning the resurrection of life in a person? What are we doing? Having another church meeting? Planning another event? What are we doing? We have an individual responsibility to seek God. Seek Him like we never. Oh, and don't think I'm putting the assembling of ourselves together to the side. Because it says in the Scripture, assemble yourselves, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Huh? And more so, in the event of the times of the end. That's my paraphrase. Huh? Bring them down to the water. Bring them down to the water. You're going to the water whether you want it or not. Hello? Hallelujah. I told a man one time who was moving away from God. I said, you know, it would have been better for you had you never heard this message. And to rebel in your ignorance than it is that for you now. You know, God does not look at you and me as He would look at an outer court Christian. Do you hear me? We are not in the same category of classification. God looks at us a whole lot different. Huh? Hallelujah. What does it say? He who has once been what? Enlightened? What is it? Hebrews. Huh? Hebrews 6, right? Huh? Go to Hebrews 6, please. Huh? Hallelujah. Four, tribulation. 5, grace. 6, man. Hallelujah. For it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been partakers of the Holy Ghost? Huh? Hallelujah. So, he's talking about you and me. Hello? And have tasted the good word of God. Oh my goodness. What is the good word of God? Huh? Is it not the thought and the intent of what God had in the beginning, isn't it? Genesis 1, chapter 26, and let us make man in our image, and after what? Our likeness! Hello? We have the mechanics of it. We have the schematic. We got the blueprint. The good word of God is the message of the tabernacle in its totality as far as what it is God intends to do with man as He brings him through this structure. Hallelujah. If they shall, what? Fall away. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? Well, let me give you a scriptural definition of it, if I can find it right offhand. I believe it's in Galatians. Funny how much of Galatians applies to the Holy Place Church. Huh? I want the word. It says about denying the power of it. Where is it? Is it Romans? All right. I thought it was in Galatians. Romans what? Do we have it? It's in Timothy. 2 Timothy. He was admonishing Timothy. My goodness. He was admonishing Timothy. Listen to what it says. Verse 1. Chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, okay. Maybe we should define that. Should we define that or should we just go on? Huh? Lovers of self. What does that mean? Well, think about comfort. Think about prosperity and what it brings to you. Think about ambition. Think about what your plans are for the future in a natural arena. What are you presently involved in your natural situation, and what do you hope it will bring to you? Man goes into business for himself. If you're in business to yourself, in the States we say you're self-employed. Not saying it's wrong to be self-employed. But if it's a what? A lover of your own self. How many of you are just still giving 10% to God? I don't know. Who's keeping the other 90? Hello? Am I talking to the right people? Huh? How much is your income? And what portion of it goes to God and what portion of it goes to yourself? Believe you me, I understand the mechanics of living. I have 7 children, 21 grandchildren. And I don't care how you cut it, that all means trouble and expenses. Huh? Hallelujah. But I have to serve God with my whole heart, in spite of 7 children and 21 grandchildren and their troubles and their life requirements. Hello? Hallelujah. Lovers of self. By the way, maybe I should identify this lover of one's own self. And I want to show you where it came from. Because it was really programmed into humanity by a word of prophecy that came from the devil. Turn with me back over here. I made this discovery yesterday or day before. Hallelujah. In one of the meetings. Boy, I've been getting a lot out of these meetings. Hallelujah. I want to go to chapter 3. Hallelujah. Now this is the chapter where the serpent comes, the devil, comes to Eve and he begins to prophesy to her. Brethren, it was not just a normal conversation. The Bible calls the devil the prince of... Well, no, but yes. But what? Prince? That means he rules over darkness, right? Oh my, I won't even go into how he got his princeship. So the devil is talking or prophesying to the woman. And if you will look very closely here, he makes a statement to the woman about what God said. And then the woman responds. That was her first mistake. She started talking to the devil. And sometimes we talk more to the devil than to God. Hallelujah. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. There was the beginning of the gospel of reconciliation of all things. For the God doth know, in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. Everybody ever look up that word, what that word God? It's Elohim. And if you go into chapter 1, and you read the account of creation, and you look at it in the Hebrew text, and it says, Elohim said. Elohim said. So the devil was telling Eve a part truth, but it was a lie. Hallelujah. It was a lie. But when she accepted the lie, she accepted a spirit of godness. Hello, come on. Hallelujah. Now, if I'm a God and I'm immortal, then as a God, I have supreme authority. I have a supremeness about my environment. Hello? And I have a right. I now have a right as a God to make certain demands. And as a God, I have to make no concessions. Have you ever thought about it? I have. Hallelujah. I don't have to make any concessions. I become a law unto myself. I'm a God. Who are you? Oh, you got your Godship, but that's fine. But my Godship's better than your Godship. I got more authority than you got. I got more country than you got. I got more servants than you got. Oh, you do? Well, watch this. Boom. You're dead. And so the lie of immortality is made known really quick. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah, you're God, but not quite God enough. But what it does, what it did, is it brought a spirit of independence. Yes. Now, some of you ladies like to be very independent. Some of you ladies can be very opinionated. Not that men can't. Please don't misunderstand me. Huh? Hallelujah. Hello? Some of you can be strong women. You get your mind set on something, and you just like a bulldozer going through everything, pushing it out of the way, pushing. And then you look, you don't even look back on the destruction sometimes. Not even aware of it, maybe. I don't know. Hello? I'm not saying that men aren't as bad as you. I'm just saying there is a spirit of independence that women have to deal with. Now, God has to deal with men, bring them down, turn them in the meat grinder, pound them half to death, kick them around, and knock them over the edge. Huh? Hallelujah. Independence. So, a spirit of independence was
what she brought forth out of Adam to have Cain, you have Abel, you have life, you have darkness. Love! Hallelujah. She has light, she has darkness. Hallelujah. And that light and darkness is manifested all through the Old Testament. Right up until the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Hello! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when it says lovers of self. And now, you know, one of the things that men have to deal with, which is independence, is pride. Oh, yeah. Pride. We had a slogan in the Civil War. There was a man called the name of John Paul Jones. And he had a flag with a serpent on it.
Head on me. He fought for the right side. He had the wrong flag. Or maybe he had the right flag. I don't know. Hallelujah. But tell me, do Nigerians have pride? So I just don't want it me telling you. You tell me. Do you have pride? Do you have pride? You know, I know two Nigerians who cannot stand each other. They cannot stand each other. They don't like each other. They don't get along. They're not even of the same tribe. Right? Hallelujah. But let somebody pick on the other one. That other one is right there at his shoulder fighting the battle with him. Oh, yeah. I've seen it with my own eye. Seen it. I've seen it. Come on. I've seen it. Hello. It wasn't the tribe that was at stake. It was the Nigerian position of prestige. Not the same tribe. You may be lesser than I am, but you're Nigerian, so we have something in common. If I want to find a Nigerian church anywhere in the world, I just find a Nigerian and follow him. Hello? You're so quiet. You're looking at me funny. I'm not your enemy. What did you... Did I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And it's not that I don't have to deal with issues, brethren. My Americanism and all of that, blah, 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 blah. Yes, 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 yes. And don't you worry about it. God has got me in the meat garden to deliver me from it. So you just keep praying. My color isn't going to change. No, no. I may get lighter, in fact. Brother Duciel tells a little story about being born white. Hello? When he was born, he was white. He had blue eyes, and he was white. And his mother took one look at him and says, "Oh, God, I'm in trouble now." And he prayed, "God, turn him black." Well, thank God, I guess, for a mom, he turned black. But you know something? Brother Duciel was not a black man. Do you hear me? He was not a black man. I rode in the back of the bus with him. I sat over in the corner of the restaurant with him. When somebody was snubbing them, they were snubbing me. He was not a black man. Not a black. Race was never, ever, ever an issue. In fact, many black men told him, "You're not a black man. You're not a black man. You don't think like a black man. You don't act like a black man." Brother Duce said, "Well, praise God, I've been delivered." Hallelujah. So she ate of the fruit and she became what we call them, demigods. We call them half human. Half God, demigod. Come on, brethren. We are fighting a nature of darkness. We are fighting a nature of wickedness. We are fighting a nature that is so absolutely... has no natural affection, has no natural compunctions concerning morality or justice or goodness. It is total, absolute wickedness. Beyond what we could ever think. And when the prophet said The heart is deceitfully wicked. Huh? Above all things. That doesn't mean the heart of ISIS. It means the heart of humanity. The man that was born so many years ago, hallelujah, under the name of Asbel, was a wicked entity of darkness. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, God looked on that darkness and He said, "Let there be light."
Amen.
And light came and shone in the midst of my darkness. Hallelujah. But you know, in order for that light not to be overcome by that darkness, I had to embrace the light. I had to bring it into my bosom like fire. Hallelujah. You have to have a determination in the aspect of God that you are going to be like God even if it kills you.
Amen.
Grab it. Hold on to it. God, burn. Burn the dross. Burn the flesh. You want to go through the veil? It says you must go through the veil, which is your flesh. Oh, Jesus did that. Yes, Jesus did that. He set the example. He set the pattern. We must walk in His footsteps. You know, He rent His veil. He rent His veil. He rent His veil. I have the responsibility of renting my veil.
Amen.
By the right of choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the right of choice. I want to go over here. 2 Timothy. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do you remember the act of obedience? Do you remember that? Hello? Huh? Obedience unto Christ. Huh? Obeying the dictates. The dictates of righteousness. Hello? I must obey the dictates of righteousness. I must make a choice to obey. Did you hear me? You come along and says, "You have to obey. You have to obey." I don't have to obey you. I have a right to choose. You may be grating my flesh. And I said, "No, I'm not going to do it. But I have the right to choose to obey." Okay. All right. I'm obeying. And I'm not obeying you. I'm obeying the precept of righteousness. Do you hear me? I have a responsibility to hear from God in the midst of that confrontation. Maybe God will tell me, "Don't obey." But what is my response to you? Is it, "I won't obey? God told me I can't obey?" Oh yes, sometimes we do that. Hello? Hallelujah. What we have to show is the mind of the Spirit, moving in the mind of the Spirit, and compassion, so that our action does not create, that we are not responsible. Not that it won't create some, but we are not responsible before God according to the action that comes forth because of it. You tell me to go somewhere, and I don't want to go, and God says, I'm thinking about going, God says, "Don't go." I have, and you are really adamant about it. You are really firm about it. You are really pushing. I just have to, Brother Chijoke, I'm just using you because you're my friend. Brother Chijoke, I would really like to obey, but I can't. You know, I have to have a right heart. I have to have a right heart. I have to have a right spirit. I have to move with God in compassion. I don't want to cause a stumbling block from Him. I don't want to be responsible for an action. But I am not the one who assesses it. God assesses it. God assesses it. He looks at it and says, you have a right heart. You have no more responsibility in the matter. You are clean. You are clean, clean, clean. I say, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean sometimes I have to labor under these things. I get myself into some conditions or some places. God says that's all right, but the burden of God is still on me for the person. I still have an obligation to pray. Pray for salvation. Pray for redemption. Pray for restoration. Pray for resurrection. Pray for deliverance. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an act of obeying. It's an act of obedience. And one of the obedient things that I have to do is work against the spirit of my own position of self-preservation. Hallelujah. You know, Paul is not just talking to Timothy about a condition or an environment of the world. Paul is talking to Timothy as instructing him how to work in the church. Hello? Do you hear me? Hallelujah. He's telling Timothy, this is what's going on, and this is what you have to do, and this is how you have to do it. Hallelujah. 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 Covetousness. Oh my goodness. Have you ever... It's funny how we can covet things, isn't it? I know a man. I was in their house and Somebody blessed them with one of these nice refrigerators. Double door, stainless steel, refreshment center, ice maker. You know, you just got a control on it, you just push a button and it just kind of does everything itself. And they had some guests over and they were in the kitchen and they saw the refrigerator and they didn't tell them that somebody gave it to them. You know, they didn't tell them that. And the guy said, oh, what a nice refrigerator. You know, those people went out of there telling everybody how rich they were and what they could afford and all of the aspects of how they were using the money that came to them, blah, 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 blah. Why? Because they had, the people had something they did not have. Can you imagine that? Oh, yes, you can. Huh? Can you imagine that? How can you? A refrigerator. Huh? I was happy about the refrigerator because I could go and get ice from it. Hallelujah. Oh, how about boasters? Proud. Boasters. Boasters. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're telling you about another conversation that they had with somebody else and how they got into a confrontation with that somebody? And then they say, and I told them, blah, 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 blah. And I told them, blah, 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 blah. And by the time they're finished, they have boosted themselves up into a position of preeminence and self-exaltation and their rightness. Boasters. Huh? Boasters. It just seems like we're so ready to tell everybody else about our human over-conquering exploits of other human beings. Huh? Have you ever been in one of those conversations? I think you have. I have. I've been in a lot of them. I've been guilty of it. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I've been guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty! I have to repent. I have to go back before God. And sometimes I have to go to the person. You know, and that's very humbling. That's humiliating. That is embarrassing. I have to go to a person and tell him, you know, we were in a conversation the other day, and I just made such a fool out of myself. in talking to you and blowing myself up bigger than a balloon. I said, please, can you just wipe everything out and forget anything I said? I was a jerk. Can you imagine that? Huh? You know, all of these things have their root in the aspect of self-preservation. Well, you want to know what other acts of obedience? Go through that fifth chapter. Go through that fifth chapter. But here, let me go down to the fourth. See what God calls them at the end of the day. Traitors. 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 You know I can be a traitor? Do you know I can be a Judas? Did you know that? Do you know I have the capability in me to be a Judas? Did you know that? Do you know I that? Because my darkness is not yet eliminated. It's called the son of perdition. Perdition is a son of darkness. So I have a right to choose. I have a right to choose to be light, or I have a right to choose to be dark. And if I choose to be dark in my confrontation with life and brethren, I can be a traitor in the house of God. I can be a Judas. I can be selling you out. If I talk bad about you, if I think bad about you, if I act bad towards you, if I don't have the spirit of reconciliation and condemnation, whatever it's called. When is it when you go lower? There it is. He said it. I think the ground gets a little farther down every time. Hallelujah. He calls them traitors. I can be a traitor. Can you be a traitor? Oh, you really think so? You really, really think so? Well, we need to examine ourselves. We're talking about dying. We're talking about, here it comes. He's going to say it. He couldn't get through it. We're talking about death to self. Hello? From this point on, self is an illegal alien. Huh? He has no right here. Hello? Anything beyond this point, he is illegal. Huh? He is a usurper. He is working mischief. Mischief. Did you hear? If I maintain my self-proportional position of living, if I retain it, I am working contrary to the will of God. If I'm not dying to self, I am working contrary to the will of God. I must die. I must die. I don't want to die. But I must. Oh yes, we're all feeling things. Oh God, I'd just give my life for you, right? You didn't think that, right? I remember a young man one time, and I was a young once, you know. And I'm getting younger, by the way. I was in this word seeking the Lord, and what happened is I had this really sharp pain. Well, where is it? Left side. That's where you feel the pain, right? When you have a heart attack, it's on the left side. Huh? Isn't it on the left side? Well, it wasn't a heart attack. I thought it was. You know, it had the pain that goes down your arm. Into your fingers become very tingly. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, mine did. But it wasn't a heart, it was a collapsed lung. But I did not know the difference. And I'm a young man and I'm preaching death to self. I have a fellowship in my home. I got a wife, I got babies. And I'm preaching death to self. Death, 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 die, 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 die. And you know what the first thought in my mind? When I feel this thing, and my breathing start going, you know how you, because my lung is not, but I'm thinking I'm dying, and I'm saying, God, I don't want to die. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I have a wife. She needs me. I have babies. They need me, God. Please, don't take me. Don't kill me. Huh? Come on, brethren. There's a reality to it. And somewhere down the road, we're going to come to grips with the reality. There was a man I know who had a reality of eternity. He must have, because a guy pointed a pistol at his head, he pulled back the hammer of it, and you could see the pellets in the chamber of the gun, in the little revolver of the thing. And the man said, "Before you kill me, there's something I'm going to tell you." And he said, "Jesus loves you. And if he gives you permission to kill me, that's all right. But you have to have his permission." Well, he lived to tell me that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had a reality. That's a reality. That man could come away from there and say, "Well, you know, I have a reality of death and life to some degree. And I'm not afraid in certain situations." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Hello? He's not talking about the heathen. Come on. He's talking about the church. Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brethren, it's time for us to turn and begin to do the first works that were given to us in the beginning. God bless you.